Yes, I did. It was a collaboration. I mean, as you know, and you know me, as we talked about, I'm not going to force a coach to take a player because that doesn't work. You know, if a coach doesn't want a player and I say, no, we're taking them, and then works out one way or the other, good. But if it doesn't, it just creates that animosity and then the distrust, you know, and it's not worth it because you've been around here long enough. You've seen a lot of that happen. So I'm not going to force any player on anyone. But yes, I had the final say. What happens before us is out of our control, you know, in terms of how we like and how other teams view players. But I would say if there was a player that fell that we thought was an impact, like franchise-type player that do it, then we would talk about it, you know. And again, some of the moves we've made this offseason has given us some the ability to move some, even if it's moving some of our picks next year to move up to help us. So I would say, again, everything's wide open for us. Again, because we didn't spend a lot of time with a lot of those guys last year. You know, we obviously thought a couple of those quarterbacks last year were really special. I think this class is a good class of quarterbacks. I would say that, again, like all of them, this class probably has some players that haven't started as many games as you would like to see, you know, in terms of helping paint the picture for what they could be. So it's a little more projection on a lot of them. But I would say overall it's a good quarterback class.
Well, we are going to find out because, boy, there are going to be a lot of people watching this Miami Dolphin draft, 13th overall, week from tonight, saying, if there's a quarterback and for some reason, if one of those quarterbacks that has just 1 year of experience and we had some big-time one-hit big hitters this year, especially with potentially the first two quarterbacks in this draft, Murray and Haskins – if Haskins drops to 13, do the Dolphins put their big, big, big boy pants on and take him? Or they go, wow, we're just not sure. Because it's a 50-50. Do you trust yourself? And I always say this, I've always felt like the Miami Dolphins front office has been scared to death of the quarterback position, especially in the first round. Just my opinion. Just looking at the history.
Well, the history is Ryan Tannehill since Marino.
And it, some of it has nothing to do with these guys, but it's like, you know, gosh, if we miss, a lot of guys their jobs when you miss and you keep waiting for the guy and hoping he gets better and he just keeps breaking your heart. So anyway, with all that, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Good morning, everybody. Zach, schedules came out last night. What'd you grab first of all? Just give me a little teaser. First thing you noticed, and you said
the first thing I noticed was no Thursday night football game.
Okay, I like that.
And then
that.
Right away after that, because I look at times. I always look at times. And now that since the Dolphins have been kind of in that path towards the bottom, all the 1 o'clock games, and I see 1:08:15, and I go, oh, that's got to be the Thursday night one. No, they're on Monday night football.
Yeah,
I was
surprised.
Shocked by no Thursday because I thought every team had to play on Thursday night football. And then I was even more shocked the fact that they have the Dolphins in a primetime game against the Steelers on Monday night football.
Well, you're right. There's going to be a lot of 1 o'clock games. Listen, these guys, when they sit down and put these schedules together, if they think you're not going to be very good, you're going to have a lot of 1 o'clock games.
And they do. They have a lot of them.
That's been the history around here. And so you got a lot of 1 o'clock games. This got to be the first for me on this one. The Jets and Giants back-to-back in New York. So you literally go play 1 o'clock game, come back, and play the other New York team in a 1 o'clock game the following Sunday. So – yeah, never. I can't remember that ever happening where he played the Giants and Jets. I don't even know if we played them in the same year up there, let alone back to back. That's got to be a first
weird
for
one.
That.
Yeah, it's
never
a weird one.
Never seen that where you play. And by the way, we have played the San Diego and L.A. teams in football back to back weeks.
You stayed
out
there. Out in L.A., right?
And we stayed out there. And
because that was the first question I asked you. I said, "Is this one of those trips where you play the Jets? When do you play the Jets? December 8th." 1 o'clock game, and then you play the Giants the next week. Do you stay in New York? I know it's not a long trip. It's, 2.5-hour flight? It's nothing crazy.
I just think with everything, you come back and practice.
Come back home, sleep in your own beds.
Yeah, you're back. You know what? You're back at a decent time the same night. You know, people don't realize this. People are always blown away when they say, what time did you get home from the game last night? I go, 9. They go, what? I go, yeah. But you had a 1 o'clock game. I go, yeah. Like, we cut through. We don't do all that airport stuff, man. We cut the bus with a lot of police officers out in front, getting you right to the airplane. I mean, 15, 20 feet from the airplane.
What is it, usually about an hour and change after the game that you actually take off?
I will tell you, the traffic, it's amazing if you've ever seen it, because obviously a lot of times getting out of there, there's ridiculous traffic, and you don't seem to hit any of it, because when you got those sirens going, they spread like a wildfire, man. They're getting out of your way and getting you to where you need to get
to.
So
reverse the question for you: what was the first thing that you kind of noticed on the schedule?
A lot of home games early.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 at home,
and then on the road a lot late in the season. So yeah, it was
early bye week too, week 5.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, was kind of looking, and what do you think of the schedule? And I said, well, first of all, there's going to be a couple teams you think are going to be really good. They're going to be really bad, like Jacksonville was last year.
Sure.
Or you're going to have teams that you aren't very good that are going to have breakout seasons. So you're going to have a little bit of everything. The Browns, all of a sudden, are one of the hottest 4 or 5 teams in football that everybody's going to want to see, and the Dolphins have to go to Cleveland. And so, yeah,
4 primetime games, by the way, for Cleveland, and the thing I read yesterday,
maybe
was
more on the flex.
With the flex, they're probably being 5 or 6, maybe, depending on how good they are.
Oh no, NBC, if they're as good as they're expected to be, that will definitely catch Sunday Night Football. Yeah, I looked at all the games, and they do it. Listen, one thing about the NFL, if there were good games a year before, they make sure you get a Rams Saints again, Chiefs Patriots. And now they're going, hey, let's get the Browns in on some of the sexy teams. So the Browns and Rams, that's got a little sexy appeal to it. So you've got those kind of games. And not to mention, people are still counting on the Steelers being good. I see the Steelers in there a lot, including kicking off the whole season. So, yeah, I'm really curious. And, of course, the Dolphins will start with probably the best running quarterback right now in the National Football League.
Lamar Jackson,
who's gonna be
week 1.
Here.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson, who's from South Florida, somewhere between Broward and Palm Beach, and the ongoing debate about where his hometown is. People get mad if you say—
How about just South Florida?
People get mad if you say he grew up in Broward, and they're going, no, he didn't. He's a Boynton Beach kid. Leave him alone. It's Palm Beach, and you don't like it. Listen, man, I don't really care about the counties. But we saw him in preseason last year, and he was running all over the place. And that's what they're going to do. You want to talk about read option and rolling out and throwing passes. They are putting an offense in built around that guy's great athletic ability.
That's right. Mark Ingram, by the way, in Baltimore now also. So they got another decent running back there for Lamar Jackson.
So that's where the Dolphins will start. Stay home for week 2 against the Brady Bunch. They're back. And we'll see how that goes. So that's the way it starts. And Baltimore has given, through the history of me being around these games, you want to talk about a team that has just owned the Miami Dolphins. It's the Baltimore Ravens. I know a lot of their defensive guys, they're all gone. Some of them have moved to other teams. Some have been traded. Some went free agency. Some retired. But for some reason, you put a Ravens uniform on and you feel like a bully physically. And they have pounded the Dolphins through the year. So we'll see what happens this year. And they've always had a good defense. It just friggin' dominates us with physical play.
Now they have a pretty dynamic
offense. More than anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to see what that's going to look like. And, hey, who knows? You know, everybody wants to break down the schedule. And I'm going, I don't know about the schedule. I did have somebody call me last night. Hey, I'm going on a road game. Which one? Because people
I'll tell
like
you which one to go to.
Oh yeah, I told them Cleveland all day.
Week 12, November 24th at Cleveland.
Yeah, I thought same thing.
Yep.
If you want to go see a good show, and again, you know, we haven't been very good on the road, but you want to go see a good show, and some of it has to. What about a Saturday night or a Saturday day? And I go, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is still pretty cool for people if you like that. Anyway, there's a lot of choices on that and the history of the game, and maybe it's the Cowboys or if you haven't seen that big gaudy stadium, there's nothing like it in the world. There really isn't.
Hey, listen, Monday Night Football,
nobody's even close. All those new stadiums being built.
Oh no, come on,
Minnesota and Atlanta. They all bow when they see Dallas.
There are 2 being built right now that might rival that, but are going to be really nice in that Vegas stadium and that L.A. stadium.
Yeah, yeah. They're all going to be
Dallas
nice.
But Dallas right now is number one.
I told you, I think Minnesota's awesome. It's got a little personality to it. Atlanta is huge. And then you go to Dallas and you go,
wow,
holy smokes. Yeah, that's a...
I took the tour of that stadium as a fan when the Super Bowl was there years ago.
They do unbelievable on their tours every week. They were talking about the amount of money they make on people
I
just
can imagine.
To go see the tour.
Yeah.
Can we go to one of the like 10 nightclubs they have in there? They have a singles area. They have car dealerships. They have – you're kicking field goals. I told you the story I always laugh about. The Miller Lite girls were dancing in this cage, and our guy's trying to kick a field goal, and above it, upper deck, is this girl half naked dancing up there in the Miller Lite cage or something. I was like, this place is
– I'll take it.
And then they got a frigging car dealership. I don't know if it's a Chevy or a Ford dealership in the other end zone, and you see all their latest cars. They're literally like a showroom, except the showroom is – at the stadium in the end zone. You could I couldn't
Jerry ain't
make it
stupid.
Up.
Jerry ain't stupid.
And so we're doing a game and we're in Dallas and I look at everybody's we're doing a game and I realize nobody's watching the actual people on the field.
They're watching the screen.
That screen is so big it just grabs you. It grabs you and like, oh, look at that. And I go, oh, man, what am I doing? Like, the game's down there, man. My eyes just.
Well, it's impossible for you guys, right? Because you guys, like, you're staring, it's looking, right in front of you, right?
It's right at you like an 80-inch screen TV at home, man. It grabs the whole friggin' room and just knocks you out. Mm. Well, speaking of knock you out, man, we got all kinds of stuff. We got a lot more from Chris Greer that's coming up. We're going to tell you what Chris Greer had to say about Rashad Jones. If you missed that. And we're going to have an early Miami Dolphin player. This is the last day of little mini camp, voluntary mini camp.
Voluntary, yes.
Voluntary mini camp, yeah. Mr. Gottschall is going to join us, one of our favorite dudes, who probably is going to have one of these radio jobs someday when he's done playing. He's going to join us, Dolphins defensive tackle. We got a lot of stuff to get to, and the Marlins last night did something they've been doing a lot, and not scoring.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were gonna say they did something they haven't done all season. Get 10,000 at a outside of opening night.
No, they got a bigger problem. How many people are going to games? They got some other
not
problems
scoring
right
any
now.
Runs. Yeah,
yeah, not good. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Trey, he doesn't want to trade. Obviously, he's not for me. Yeah, Rashad's going to be here. You know, as you guys know, I've known Rashad probably the longest of anyone here. I ended up going before the draft and ended up spending a full day with him trying to get to know him when Nick was here. I ended up spending a lot of time getting to know him and trying to figure out who he was as a person. And I like Rashad a lot. And, you know, this is a voluntary camp, and you know, he chose not to be here. Would love to have him here, but he's a Miami Dolphin. But, you know, hey, he's earned the right to do it. And he's not the only guy in the league doing it, you know, so... it's voluntary, and we know how this game is for these guys. But no, we've not given him permission. He has not asked.
All right, Chris Greer said, hey, I don't want any fires there, man. Rashad Jones is fine. Get healthy. We want you here. And on top of that,
Chris Greer just dated himself, right?
Well, he did. He went back. It's so funny.
Nick
First
Saban.
Thing I thought is Rashad Jones and Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Never thought a helicopter, man. Being a Rashad guy.
Well, how many guys have been here since Nick? That's the problem. It seems like it was 100 years ago.
Well, we've been banging coaches out every two or three years. We've been
regimes.
Going at them pretty good.
What do you
good.
Mean, full regimes?
We've been on the rotation program, a front office.
How many guys have been
coach?
Here?
Oh,
head coach was just head coach was.
Well, think about this.
Since Nick,
I mean, people going. You know, there are people out there going, "Gosh, our company's constantly like firing people and hiring
Turnover.
People." And I go, "It ain't nothing like our business." You ought to see, because you know what happens. First thing, a GM goes, or then usually some of his guys go. We've had that because we've got some of our guys all over the league now. Matter of fact, there's a Buffalo Bills are full of former Dolphin guys, and so you look at those situations, and then the biggest one is a head coach gets blown out, and they're all under contract, so they have to stay around. And then usually three-quarters of those guys aren't picked up by the Dolphins, and they'll go, you guys are free to go find somewhere else because we're not keeping you. So they get fired. And then, so we got coaches. You know, you got.
Can you take a wild guess off the top of your head how many guys have been here, including interim guys, since Nick Saban?
If I'm just to guess, all the guys have been fired.
I know the number. I'm looking at it.
You talking about coaches, head coaches, GMs?
Head coach. Even interim.
I'm going to say 5 or 6.
Brian Flores would be number 7.
Wow.
Including interim. Dan Campbell's in there. Todd Bowles.
They all count.
But Brian Flores, Adam Gase, Dan Campbell, Joe Philbin, Todd Bowles, Tony Sperano, Cam Cameron.
Yeah.
Since Nick.
We've had a few interim coaches, you know, the guys that had to fill in after guys have been fired on airplanes. Now we've.
Yeah, Todd Bowles' entire career as a head coach down here is 2-1. Dan Campbell was 5-7. Like, these guys, you know, this is what's happened. There's been seven. This is the 7th guy since Saban.
Yeah. I got a little queasy.
Yeah. He's
so,
there.
Anyway, we got all that stuff. So it was interesting. Chris Greer, like, hey, Rashad's got the right. We're not upset. And so the other part of this is that is interesting that I think is going to happen because I just don't think the Dolphins can get enough quality with one draft to fill all their needs. I really think, and they've kind of opened it up, and as soon as I heard it wasn't for sure that Minkah Fitzpatrick was going to be a full-time safety, I went, he's going to be a starting corner. It's going to be Xavier on one side, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who by the way, he goes, I'll do whatever you guys want, because he was really good last year. He was even good at corner last year. He was a good, solid corner in the slot. I think he ended up one of the best percentages for coverage and completion against them in the league, and all those new stats that are out now that we keep track of everything. Minkah was unbelievable. So Minkah, somebody told me, has been like asked the team, and this guy's a pro's pro, by the way, for a young guy. He just wants to play, really appreciates the fact the Dolphins drafted him. He goes, hey, just let me know if I'm going to be a corner or safety because I like to play a little heavier as a safety, and I play lighter to be a little faster as a corner, so just as soon as you guys can, let me know. And I heard Chris Greer say this yesterday, and he's right because we said it all last year. Minkah Fitzpatrick was not only the first or second best player on the Dolphins defense last year, next to Xavier Howard, he was the second best corner on the team. And Bobby McCain is so much better inside than outside. He got off to a great start, but I just think Bobby is built and has played inside. Not a lot of guys even like to play inside because it's a two-way go plus over the top. I just think we're a lot better defense, and, you know, you're going to need all the help you want. Minkah's now got all that experience of playing outside. And then this takes care of all the other issues with your veteran safeties, and we keep Salty Sam away, and everybody's happy, and you get everybody buying in. So I was just thinking, there's a really good chance, unless they draft somebody and we get shocked and they take somebody in the first or second round, which I don't expect with all the needs on offensive and defensive line. And then the other one is last night, this Dwayne Haskins thing, if for some reason he drops to 13. And I heard Chris Greer say, well, you know, these guys only got 1 year of experience. Listen, man, there's been a lot of guys come into this league with 1 year experience at quarterback that haven't played a lot. We got two guys. It looks like the top two guys going to be drafted have 1 year of experience.
Sure, yep.
Had great years.
Yes.
Oklahoma and Ohio State had great years.
Kyler Murray and Haskins, yes.
Missouri and Duke had a lot of experience. Played a ton of football, got knocked around, didn't play on as talented as teams as those other two, not even close. Oklahoma and Ohio State talent, and the receivers and the gang they're playing with
different.
And the offensive line, a little bit different than what you're getting at Duke, where guys are worried about getting their law degrees, and Missouri, where you're getting knocked around as kind of a middle to bottom tier SEC team.
Yeah, yes.
So, I get that you got to take all that into consideration. You're never going to have the great numbers at Duke and Missouri that you're going to have when you can sit back there and you got all day to throw the football.
Well, Kyler Murray won the Heisman. You know, like
it's an Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma had two of the best offensive lines in college football.
And two of those guys were invited for the Heisman Trophy ceremony, too.
So
1-1.
You know, no matter what anybody says, you got to take that into consideration. I happen when I'm watching these quarterbacks' highlights, it is funny how you're going, look at how much time they had to make that beautiful throw down the field, because every guy would love to have that amount of time to drop back and watch a guy run a deep crossing route and then throw it on the money 35 yards down the field.
With about 25 minutes to throw the ball, too.
But you got to take all that in consideration, and they do, right? Who's got the talent, the technique, what you're hearing. So there are some teams that would love for their quarterback to be a 2 or 3 year starter. I get it. You would love to know that he came in and played as a freshman, a sophomore, played as a junior, and he came out. I get that.
That doesn't happen very often.
That sounds like
anymore.
A beautiful, yeah. Perfect world of experience. Sure. And he's been a quarterback his whole life.
Yeah.
Since he was 10 years old, little Johnny was running around throwing passes and hitting mom and dad in the head on the sideline. So I get that you want a guy that's a lifetime. We went through the Tannehill, part receiver, part quarterback, good athlete, all that stuff. But Chris Greer, he's going to have to, this year, next year, at some point, Chris Greer is going to have to get a little queasy, get a little sweat, and the people, everybody in the organization looks at him and says, Chris, it's your pick. We didn't know he was going to be there. I know we like those 2 or 3 defensive linemen, and oh, there's an offensive lineman you really like, but what are you going to do? Because you know what the most important position in football is, just like everybody else. Chris, we got 5 minutes. Chris, we got 7 minutes. Chris, our phone's not ringing for somebody to jump up and take our pick and make a beautiful, you know, and add a bunch of picks. What do we want to do, Chris? Because at that point, Chris doesn't, you know, well, you're the GM. This is why you're the GM right now. You got a few minutes. You know, you got the owner, and he's kind of giving his billion-dollar input, which you got to look at him. All right, Mr. Ross, here, your 20 seconds is done. You got your guys you trust that have been with you.
You think Mr. Ross can influence that pick?
No. You got your assistant coaches. They feel strongly about guys. You got your assistant coaches.
Everybody's got
you
something.
You got D-line coach going, my God, I got 3 guys I know can get double-digit sacks for us. Take that guy. Love him.
So what if Haskins is sitting there?
But what if Dwayne Haskins is sitting there?
You're right.
What if Dwayne Haskins, for some reason, that big, beautiful, drop-back throwing son of a gun, he's got an arm. Now, I don't know, folks. And I know everybody's trying to badmouth him, but I'm so used to this in the first round
right
of the draft.
Right before the draft,
guys getting badmouthed, and, you know, and we look for more negatives with first-round picks and positives, right?
Of course.
We can't find the perfect guy.
No,
it's
never.
Hard. I guess last year Penn State's running back was one of the perfect guys.
Yeah, sure.
But it's hard to find him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, Joe, but from a fan perspective, do the Dolphins care at all that the fans would go absolutely bonkers if that guy is sitting there and they took
and
a
they
lineman?
Don't take him, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a fan base that has had a rough go of things for a long time here, and if that quarterback is sitting there at 13 and they go, we're going to take some offensive linemen, I mean, fans have every right to go nuts at that point.
It's a PR nightmare if that happens.
They are going to, but, you know, Dave Wan says the one that told me this. You start listening to your fans, you're going to get fired. It's true. We can all have our favorites. Radio guys, we got our favorites. I'm guilty. I tried not to get a crush, and I got a crush on Dwayne Haskins. And by the way, if I'm around on radio as he goes through his career and he ends up being bad, I know you'll remind me if I miss on
that
one.
Only if Kyler Murray is the first overall pick. Otherwise, I'll be quiet for a while. Would you be upset? How about this? Okay, it's Friday morning. Round one just ended. The 13th pick came around. Bunch of those Clemson defensive linemen were there. Maybe one of that offensive linemen from Alabama dropped. Haskins was on the board. At 13, no trade up, nothing. And they go with the Alabama lineman or one of these Clemson defensive linemen, whichever one, pick your name out of a hat.
I personally would take Haskins.
Okay, but if they don't and we come in here that Friday morning, your first initial thoughts is
I would be a little disappointed, but I know.
I mean, he goes 14.
Everybody,
we don't take him at 13. He goes 14.
Well, let me just say this. If you don't take him and you take one of those defensive linemen, no matter how good they are, and you're probably going to get a really good player.
Sure. There's a lot of quality.
Which, by the way, I get if you're a GM and you need and you really need it. You just got rid of your top 3 pass rushers, who, by the way, a lot of them didn't play well last year.
Doesn't matter.
But you got rid of those 3 guys. You need pass rushers.
Yes, right away.
I get it. And you got a guy that's screaming first year he's getting the minimum of 6 sacks if he stays healthy right off the bat. So, you know, can't miss. as close as you can have to can't miss.
But
I
the
hate
quarterback
that down
is
here.
Still sitting there.
But that quarterback's out there. And let me give you this one, too, because this is there's so many parts to this. It's so interesting. You know what happens if you don't take him and he goes somewhere and he's a perfect fit and ends up tearing it up.
Chris Greer will be locked into that guy.
You get Matt Ryan, and it never goes away.
No,
like, wow.
Never.
You let him go, and look how good he is in that system. And then he beats you two or three times over the next 5 or 6 years. And people are going, wow, we went for that really nice defense alignment. But meanwhile, that quarterback is throwing 35 touchdowns, leading his team to games. What in the hell have you done?
And we got a guy who got 7 sacks, which is nice. But
yeah. Well, listen, we got another guy that's going to join us coming back in just a moment. Devon Gotcha, Dolphins defensive tackle, made for radio, man. You don't want to miss my man from LSU. He's coming up in just a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, it's the last day of voluntary workouts in Davie for the Miami Dolphins. So, of course, we catch one of the guys on the way in nice and early.
Mini camp. They still got workouts, but the mini camp.
Mini camp, voluntary workout.
I don't even know what the difference is.
Neither do I.
We have to ask Devon Gotcha about that right now.
And he's going
to
join us right now in the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Devon, how you doing this morning? Good morning.
Good morning to y'all guys. I'm doing great.
Hey, man, what's the difference in a, help us out, voluntary workout and a voluntary mini camp? What's the biggest difference?
Voluntary minicamp and voluntary workout. I mean, a minicamp is you actually, you know, you're out there practicing football. You're allowed to go out there with the coaches, and voluntary workouts is, both of them are voluntary, so you don't have to be there. I mean, but why not? Would you not be there to get better? But, I mean, a voluntary workout is when you go out there with the strength and conditioning coach, Dave Palocca, and you go out there and work out with him.
Let me ask you this. You got new coaching staff. You got new system. Brian Flores, a defensive, you got to see some of the work he did. I know he's a head coach, but the Patriot way last year. Have you seen some of that stuff? Have you seen it early on some of the things maybe, that's stuff the Patriots do. Have you seen some of that?
You know, Joe, it's going to be a mix of a lot of things. It's going to be a mix of a lot of things. You know, I like talking about it. I like really talking about the X's and O's, but it's going to be a mix of a lot of things, you know, a lot of great things, a lot of things to put us in positions to win one-on-ones, to win a lot of things. But at the end of the day, it's all about competing. It's all about getting better each and every day, you know, going out there, you know, first day of a voluntary minicamp, you know, just planting the seed, you know, like nobody's ready to play football right now. You know, we're just going out there, we're just planting the seed right now.
What's the biggest thing for you guys as vets to gain from this the OTA this week or the voluntary workouts with the new head coach?
Fundamentals and technique, you know, going back to the basics. Fundamentals and techniques, you know, getting the new techniques down, fundamentals, you know, drills, just things like that, you know, just kind of, you know, just all back, you know, getting your feet wet again, you know, just going out there and just running a new scheme.
Devon, when Coach Flores had his first meeting, because he had talked to some of the former players, I happened to be there, I was just wondering, did he put a real emphasis on guys being on time? Because he said that to us, and I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. Like, I just thought that was kind of a given to be. Did he hit you with, hey, man, you guys here, we got meetings. I want your ass on time. Did you get that one?
You know, on time is late, you know. So you want to be, you know, the meeting's at 8 o'clock. You know, I want to get there at 7, you know, at 7:58. You know, I want to get there maybe at 7:53, you know.
Right.
So I always want to be early, you know, emphasizing, of course, you know, as being a head coach, you know, you want to make sure, you know, guys respect you, you know, guys respect the team, guys respect the locker room. But at the end of the day, you know, being on time is a big part of it.
Devon, I just got to bring this up just because I talk with Joe about it all the time. I can't imagine being 1 or 2 minutes late to one of these meetings and getting like a $2,000 fine or a $2,500 fine. I count my pennies at the house. I can't imagine getting $2,500. Like, did a lot of guys, that happened to a lot of guys where they're 2 minutes late and they know a fine is coming?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that sucks. You know, I try not to, you know, guess it. I try to get my money back, you know. I like all my money.
Me too.
In my pocket. I want to, whether it's $2,000, $500, doesn't matter. You know, I want to keep all of it in my pocket.
You know, last year, so I'm walking through, and on those big boards, they put the player, how late they were to the meeting and the amount. And I used to go, damn, for being a minute and 20 seconds late, that cost you $3,000. damn.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of damn money, man. I used to just like, yeah, that's crazy. That was always crazy to me. Hey,
all about being a professional, Joe.
Yeah, no, I got
it's all about
good answer. Real good answer.
I got you, man. Hey, so we got the draft coming up a week from tonight. I know you follow the high school football like crazy, the 3-, 4-, 5-star stuff. Do you follow this too? Are you curious to see? I know you are with your LSU guys, but overall, do you follow everything going on? Are you curious about certain stuff?
I follow a little bit. You know, I try to see. I follow. You know, when I'll probably be watching TV, I'll be on SportsCenter and something comes up, or they got this guy going this round. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know. It's going to be great to see those guys Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, round one, round two, three, four, I mean, and on and on. It's going to be great to see those guys get picked, you know. I mean, like I say, for me, it was a life changing, you know, coming from Plaquemine, Louisiana, a small town, you know, getting a chance to play at the Miami Dolphins organization, you know, gave me a great opportunity to play here, you know, drafted me in the fifth round, 178 picks. So I'm thankful and blessed for, you know, at the end of the day, you know, once those guys get their name called, it's going to be probably the greatest moment of their life.
So you want to give us a little breakdown of the LSU, top LSU guys coming out? I know we got a cornerback coming out there. That's pretty good as well.
Greedy, Devin White. I mean, you have a lot of great guys. You know, some guys stay, you know, some guys stay for the senior season. You know, I think this year we don't have as much as we usually have, but things like six, seven, eight guys, you know, but this year usually more than that. But a couple guys stay, you know, went back to the program to win championships this year. But we're not going to speak on that right now. But yeah, but it's going to be a great opportunity, man. It's going to be a great, like I said, to get their names called on that draft day.
How is Vincent Taylor doing? Is he? How's your sidekick? Is he getting healthy? Is he back? Or how's he? I saw him bowling. How's he doing?
You know, I don't really like to speak on other players, you know, but that's my guy. You know, he's good and he's healthy.
Yeah, that's
good to hear.
It is fun. Hey, by the way, when you hear, you know, they got rid of a lot of veterans, you hear the rebuild stuff. What do you guys say about all the rebuild stuff? And people are going, oh, my gosh, what's this thing going to look like? There's going to be so many young guys playing. How do you treat it? And how will you tell your guys to treat it in that room?
You know I don't care about that, Joe. You know I don't care about that. You know, I just want to win at the end of the day. You know, I mean, the guys that's in the locker room, the guys that's in the building, you know, we're going to compete and we're going to win. You know, each and every day we're going to come there and work. Each and every day we're going to come there and do what we got to do to get better.
You know, I love the way you started that
answer.
Fired
up.
You know what? The way you started that is the way you and I talk when we're together.
No, you did. You did a good job.
That was beautiful. And you caught it. That was.
I catch myself.
You're a radio pro. Devon, you're a radio pro, man.
I don't know if you want the morning gig or the afternoon gig. You have to tell me when you're done and when you want to come in here and drink coffee and donuts and stuff. You'll just have to.
It's too early in the morning for this.
Afternoon drive. That's it. You're an afternoon drive guy.
He wants
to
wait on that.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what. Everybody's been having a great time with your new quarterback out there, who seems to be a real character and fun, and talking about his kids and cake and everything else. Have you had a chance to talk to him at all yet?
I haven't had a chance to talk to Fitz. Actually, I did. He was in a locker room, and I talked to him about one of my two of my former players who he played with in Tampa Bay, Quan Alexander and Kendall Beckwith, two of the linebackers. And I have a chance to talk to him about that. But other than that, I really haven't had a chance to have a real deep conversation with him. But he seems like a very likable guy, you know. Smiles every day, you know. Seems like everyone likes him, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to see.
Yeah, the guys from Tampa Bay, man, actually had a lot of great things to say about him and the way they started and everything else. I want to ask you about, just in general, like, I always used to love to be around all the guys. I was really into busting chops, having fun, getting to know dudes from the South, the East, the West. As a California guy, it was just really cool to be around it. Do you feel that way about just not working out together, but just spending time with other guys, getting to know them? Is that still important?
I feel like once you take a lot of guys from different neighborhoods, different cities, different states, and you put them together in an NFL locker room, an NFL organization, you know, and you build a great bond, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, coming together and being close to each other. Because trusting someone is very hard, you know, like you bringing another guy from this and that and trying to make those guys trust each other as 11 people on the football field is very hard to do. So I feel like as a coach, as a staff, you know, once you do that, you know, like you did, like you build something very special.
How do you build? We always talk about this, a leadership and building a really strong chemistry and guys you can trust and that culture stuff that's always talked about. And I know Adam Gase used to get frustrated. How do you build all that stuff up where you got guys in after you lose a couple games, aren't bad mouthing, play calling, and all? How do you get past all that and go, let's just go out and kick some ass? How do you do that?
It takes time, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something you wake up and it's done tomorrow. You know, it takes time. You know, it takes repetition. Like I say, it takes over and over repetition, communication. You know, it takes time. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, a bunch of guys just have to trust each other. You have to go out there and, like, things like this. Like, you know, like about we go out there and practice on the football field in the hot sun, you know, communicating with each other, you know, things like that. I mean, and over time and time, like, you just build it.
Yeah. That's interesting to do.
Well,
because
it's a bonding thing, too.
It is. You guys staying together. The other thing is, I always hear this about defensive linemen. You guys got one assignment. I know a lot of people don't see it sometimes. Well, that guy didn't make the play. Well, he wasn't supposed to. He's supposed to, you know, sit the guy up or take a certain gap on the guy because that's your job. But sometimes guys like to – is it hard not to freelance sometimes when you're going, I know I'm supposed to do this, but, damn, I know what they're going to do. I can hit this gap. And if I make it, it's a big play. But if I'm wrong, that thing might go 40 yards because nobody's in where I'm supposed to be. Is that hard to stay away from?
Like you said, if I make it, it might be a hell. If I make it, I'm going to make it. But if I'm not, it's going to be a big play. You better make it. You better make it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you have to, you know, like things about, you know, just staying, you know, keep your eye disciplined. You know, just, I mean, just be disciplined, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, sometimes you're going to want to get greedy, you're going to want to get antsy, but, I mean, just be disciplined. Like I said, if you're going to jump it, you know, make the play.
Right.
If not, then we got another problem.
Devon, once again, you're hosting a football camp in your hometown. How rewarding is that, being able to do that in your hometown?
Yeah, it's very rewarding. I'm hosting a football camp. You know, I have a lot of things I'm doing in the offseason. I'm next week, Thursday of the draft. That early that evening, like 3 o'clock, I'm doing my last event with Microsoft in the Aventura Mall with the kids, you know, talking about childhood obesity, things in school, mentorship program. I have my Thanksgiving meal served this year again. I did it last year in Florida in Liberty City. I also have my DGs given back home, books I give away, Jackie giveaway back home in Plaquemine, Louisiana. We have a lot of things going on. We're going to do like a fashion fundraiser where guys like dress up in suits at events. I'm trying to get a couple of players to come out dress up in suits and walk the runway. But we have a lot of things going on. But my camp back home is June 22nd, and we're just trying to, you know, give back to the kids. And I mean, because growing up, you know, I never had nobody do it to me. So me going back home and the kids, everybody looking up to me, you know, it's always been a blessing to me. So I will always be a blessing to them and give back to them, you know, make sure we compete in drills and do everything right.
Devon, that's a lot of stuff, man. It's good stuff. Both giving back where you grew up and as well as giving up where you're playing, man. That's great stuff. We always love having you, brother.
That's right.
It's great having you on, and we really appreciate it before you jump into an 8 o'clock meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Devon Godshaw, Dolphins defensive tackle.
He's great. Made for radio, that guy.
Yeah, man. He gets into.
By the way, come check out at the Dolphins Family Fit Fest. It's at Baptist Health Training Facility at Nova Southeastern University. It's Saturday, May 4th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Bring the whole family to this free event that includes a giant Zumba party, interactive fitness activities, athletic skill zones, health screenings, and more. For all the details, go to baptisthealth.net/dolphinsfest.
Radio.com. Radio.com.